The information presented in this podcast is not intended for the treatment or prevention of disease or any medical condition, nor is it a substitute for medical advice. The information contained herein in this podcast reflects only the opinion of the author and presenter and is in no way considered required practice.
Welcome to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connects your brain to your brawn.
Hi, this is Eric Fiorello, and I want to welcome you to Motivation and Muscle, streaming radio 24-7. Today is the 27th of October, 2017, if you can believe it. Now, I don't know if I did this on the last show. We got our good friend Charlie Oliphant on here today, and we're going to bring him in momentarily. But, as you know, before we get started, we do one thing right off the bat and a couple other things. First, I know most people are standing up or sitting down. Stand up, take a deep breath through your nose, out through your mouth, and say, I am a winner, I am a champion. I am a winner, I am a champion. Now, why do we say that, and why do people send me notes and put that at the end of the note? Because if you're thinking like that, you are thinking like a successful human being, and that's what we're made to be, successful. So keep saying those two lines the minute you wake up during the day, and don't forget to repeat them when you're in bed. And a thing I like to do with it is keep saying those two verses till you literally fall asleep. And believe me, you will fall asleep. Let me tell you, I've woken up in the middle of the night, 3-4 in the morning, to go to the bathroom. I'll go to the bathroom, and you know what's churning through my head? I am a winner. I am a champion. I'm starting to say that as I'm standing over the toilet. I'm serious. It's far better to be a positive human being than always being a naysayer. Think about that. Also, too, don't forget about the sand dune. That's Matt Dahl. You can go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. There's a brand new page there. I explain all about it, and you'll see a video of just my feet on a sand dune. You can also get a hold of Matt at 714-995-4500. Tell him Motivation sent you. You will get 10% and free shipping in the USA. Now, another thing that I've been saying, too, and I love this because this goes with all of us, I believe, and it goes like this. I came up with this line. May we live among the brave forever. That means all of us. As I say, we are a legion. I mean that. It is very, very important now to band together and get our messages out through the whole world, in my opinion, more than you've ever thought of before. So think about that, too. Also, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com, Winner Circle. You want to change your life? 13 modules that will set you on your way to your greatness. And I mean that wholeheartedly. And I'm telling you right now, it's time for folks to get off the fence and start moving. So go out, take massive action, jump on the winner's circle, change your life forever. Also, to contribute, right on FiorelloBarbellCo.com, click that button. $25 will get you the beginning, which is the first module from the winner's circle. $50 will get you the beginning and a half hour of time with me free. And $100 will get you the beginning and 2 half-hour sessions free with me. Click it. Goes right to my PayPal account. You're in, out. You're ready to go. And like I said, greatness is right around the corner for you. Also, too, I've been telling everybody about this book I've been reading for the last couple weeks. I'm almost done with it. It's called What It Takes to Be Number One, Vince Lombardi on Leadership. Vince Lombardi Jr., his son, wrote it. And I'm telling you right now, you got to read this book. It is unbelievable. And anybody that was with Lombardi who played for him, there wasn't one of them that wasn't a major success out in the business world. Vince Lombardi, by far, I hope I've got some of his DNA from wherever, because he was an incredible human being. And what a teacher, let alone a coach, but a mentor of young men that went on to be just extraordinary individuals, and that's what it's all about. Also, go out to motivationmuscle.com. /category/podcast. Charlie and I, we just went over the shows. This will be the sixth show Charlie's already done with me. So right there, you got a hell of a vault of material. Also, get on our newsletter. You go out to motivationmuscle.com right at the very top of the homepage. Sign up. Goes right to my MailChimp account, and you will get any newsletters. I try to put one out a week. But if you go anywhere else, it goes to Never Never Land, and that's the way it is. So stay tuned in. Don't forget, we're out on, you can get our podcast out on the YouTube channel of mine too. So we're spread all over the map. But as I said, we got our good friend Charlie Oliphant in here today, and I'm going to give you a little information on this gentleman. He's a stone lifter, a farmer, and a Highland Games competitor. And if you know anything about the Ad Blair stairs, or the Ard Blair stones, I'm sorry, what am I saying, stairs? Big event. Charlie, I love what he does, especially with the kids. You know, you'll have the old school big, I'll make sure I'm right when I say this, but they look like oak barrels. They harken back to a time. And, you know, you see the kids and they'll put a mark on it and they'll pull a little Atlas stone and hit it. I just think more than ever, guys like Charlie are gold, because without them, I'm telling you right now, we've got enough young kids, even adults, lost. What could be better than going out and going after the dream of dreams, whether it's stone lifting, entrepreneurship, or just being a better human being? That's what it's all about. So, Charlie, it's always an honor, and welcome back to the show, my friend.
Well, it's a pleasure and indeed an honor to be back for the show, Eric, and thank you very much for inviting me for round six, is it, I think?
Yeah, round six. We're in the sixth round. Charlie, anything I missed, lay it out there. And we're going to talk about, obviously, the Ard Blair stones, and we're going to talk about the Shank stones, which this is going to be very interesting because I'll relate my story to that, too. So take it away, my friend.
Okay, well, yeah, you're right enough. It's the Ard Blair stones. I do like the Ard Blair stairs, though. It has a certain ring to it, but we'll stick with the Ard Blair stones.
Yeah, fine. Hey, Charlie, before you go on, for anybody that's never heard of the Ard Blair stones, could you just give a brief synopsis about them, you know, how you came about with this whole thing, and where you are today, if you would, please?
Okay, absolutely. Well, what happened was is that I, it's quite a long story, but I'll try and keep it as brief as I can. Basically, read of stones of stones and strength, got absolutely fascinated by the history of stone lifting culture, and it sort of inspired me enough to sort of create my own set of Atlas stones, essentially.
Yep.
And then it was suggested by my father, actually, who is he's chief of the Blairgowrie and Rattray Highland Games. I thought it might be quite a good thing to perhaps create an event incorporating these. So there's nine of them. And they start at very light at, the thing is, I'm not sure what their pounds are. It starts at 18 kilograms. I know the heaviest one is 152 kilograms.
Yep.
Which is 335 pounds. But there's nine of them, and they sort of, you know, they go up in fairly gradual stages. And you're not allowed to use any tacky. You can use chalk.
Right.
I mean, as you know yourself, lifting stones without the aid of tacky or anything is completely different. And it's interesting you're referring to the oak barrels. Well,
yeah,
they're actually in Scotland. They're described as, they're called whiskey butts.
But okay,
and they hold about 500 gallons and the height of water or of whiskey, I guess.
Yeah,
and their height is about 52 inches. So I believe that in the States they're actually very, very hard. And that's not a common size. In fact, I don't even know if you can get barrels that height, because certainly whenever I've seen competitions in the States. I know Steve Slater, who's been a previous guest of yours.
Yep.
I know that he's itching to get hold of some of these larger whiskey butts, as they're called, because I think the more common barrels that are used out there are just sort of waist height, whereas these are, you know, they're sort of chest height, if you like.
Yeah, yeah.
So basically, that's what it is. It's basically nine barrels, all the same height, nine stones of differing weights, and the idea is to do them sequentially from lightest to heaviest. I have to time it because we have to know who's come first and second and third. But in my head, when people are doing it, and I think of them as participants rather than competitors,
sure,
I feel that they should just focus on getting the stone up and not worrying about the time, because I don't think of it as a rush thing. I think of it as a, I don't know, it's more, I don't like thinking of it as a sort of a competition for speed.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But to go back to that, obviously, you know, information that you were saying, Eric, earlier on, a couple of things that might be of some interest. The first thing is that I have a Facebook page, and the Facebook page is called The Ard Blair Stones, and Ard Blair is spelled A-R-D-B-L-A-I-R.
Yep.
In the last week, I created a YouTube channel, which rather unimaginatively is also called The Ard Blair Stones. And I won't patronise your learned listeners by spelling Ard Blair again for them. So if you want to see people lifting stones at Highland Games or various other events I've had around the country, then by all means go and have a look and check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. Let me ask you this too, Charlie, because, you know, you and I talk about, you know, kids a lot, and obviously you have a daughter and a son, correct?
And that's right.
And we know that your son has lifted some Atlas stones. We've seen him out on Etched in Stone and all that. What do you see now? I mean, obviously you're in Scotland, and I'm here in the United States. Do kids seem interested, or is it like here where, you know, it's not very popular, obviously, because it's not in our culture. Whenever I've been anywhere, like especially Iceland, they might not lift them, but they know what the Húsafell stone is, which is pretty impressive in my opinion. Do you see an interest in kids when they come there for the first time, whether they've ever done it or not? Or has it become, you know, I know here it would be pretty much poo-pooed in more ways than one.
Well, it's. I would say that the kids, they're almost obsessive over it.
I love it.
They without wishing to come across or appear sexist, the women are very much into it as well. And
yeah.
Highly competitive.
Yeah.
And obviously the men. So I would say there's not a single group, an age group, or sex that when they're there and they see it happening, everybody wants to get involved.
That's awesome. That, you know, that's what it's all about. You know, I love to hear them talking here. Oh, community and all this. You know how you get people together? You get them into an event like something that you do, obviously, with the barrels and the stones, and, you know, you have the Highland Games going. I mean, that right there, it puts a feeling in the air most people don't even have a clue to. There's an energy. There's a, you know, people are joining together. They're pushing one another. And I liked what you said. We're not worrying about time so much. Let's concentrate and see how far we can get with those stones. I think less emphasis on how fast can I beat the other guy. Look, we've all competed in things. There's different times and different places. But I see this more than ever now. When all you do is put emphasis on winning, on how fast you are, you could be taking a sector of people you don't even know that maybe they're not very good at something right away, because I'm sure you've met many athletes in your day, I have too, and suddenly you see these people after a little while, they come out of the woodwork, man, and they're real good. And my whole thing now is this, you have to be firm. You have to teach them how to build the discipline and the will to do things. But right now, it's only your first, second, or third time. Let's have a little fun with it and just let's see. Because I'm sure with any child or adult or whatever, you being around this and doing it for so long, there's certain things I'm sure you see and say, hey, you know what? This kid might be something or somebody we really want to work with. So take it away.
Totally, absolutely agree with you, Eric. One of the biggest buzzes for me personally, running the stones event, is seeing somebody who's maybe never, they don't know the technique of lifting the stones. Obviously, we'll give them a certain amount of guidance there.
Yep.
So it could be a child, you know, for want of a better word, and they just, this is just phenomenal. You know, they're not trained, they're not being to the gym, they just have this raw natural strength. I mean, to give you an example, at the Highland Games this year, it's only, well, I think, well, there's Susan Holland-Keane, obviously.
Sure.
who is a guest of yours on the show, and Mary Anderson, who is a former Scotland's Strongest Woman, and Lee Holland Keane, obviously Susan's daughter.
Yep, she's awesome.
They're the only ones that have managed to get the fifth stone on the barrel.
Jeez.
But this year, there was where my kids go to school, there's a lady who's a mother there. She's called Pavlina.
Yep.
And she's from the Czech Republic. And she's quite competitive, and she thought she'd like to give the stones a shot. But she's never trained. She doesn't go to the gym. But she's competitive, and she was keen. And she got the fifth stone up. And that's with no training.
Awesome. Awesome.
And so that's the sort of thing which really fires up your imagination. And you think, what if, you know, there's so much untapped potential there.
Yeah.
Maybe you could be coaching them or be providing inspiration for the next big thing in the world of stone lifting.
I agree. And you know what, too, Charlie? You said the two words, what if. Not enough people now are asking what if. I mean, you saw somebody came there, no training basically with stones. Now, right there, you know damn well they've got potential. There's no doubt about it, all right? You can't deny that. And this is just my opinion, and I'll get right back to you. You see a lot of casualties alongside the road with a lot of different things, and especially what we like to do, whether it's the stones, the weights, whatever. And a lot of it is due to a number of things, as we said before. You get a poor trainer, you get in a bad situation, you get around bad people. You know, I've seen a number of things happen in gyms, et cetera, et cetera. And you quit, you get a bad taste in your mouth, and you say, no good. And you can't guard against everything. I mean, we're always going to be exposed to people that maybe you don't get along with, maybe that aren't in your corner, et cetera, et cetera. But not everybody is good at being able to rebound from things like that. And I'm not making excuses for people either. But I've seen a lot of good people go down the road and they never came back. And one of the biggest reasons was they let other people dictate to them what they should and shouldn't do. And then the next thing, which I think is very serious, is this. And this happens to a lot of people because I know with the business, somebody could be family, best friend, girlfriend, wife, somebody that you really respect will say the words that will demolish most people is you can't do it. And there's too much of it out there, and there's too many people that could have, and I believe you don't have to go out and lift a 400-pound stone. Maybe you just want to lift some sandbags. Maybe you want to lift some light stones. Maybe you want to get up to a 300-pound squat. But they let these people get in their head, and they quit. And this is a thing that is very dangerous we see right now all over. Quitting has become so acceptable now because nobody wants to take the responsibility to say, hey, you know what, your son or daughter, they're not very good. Because, in fact, I don't remember what school it was. And I believe it was high school. A coach tried to discipline a football player. So the little baby goes to the AD, and the parents get mixed up in it. They wanted this coach literally fired. Okay? So what do you do at this point? And the thing I like about what you do is you're out in the air, you're out in the grand wide open. You got lots of traffic and noise going around, and you're seeing the elite of the elites, but you also have the atmosphere where those kids or whomever are getting to see something most people never get to see, and then they get to go and do something most kids never get to do. So I applaud you on that because I think you're doing a service for people that probably most of them don't even realize what's happening to them at that point. Comment on any of that, my friend.
Yeah, well, thanks. It's very flattering comments, Eric. And certainly, a lot of the people that have done the Ardblair Stones.
Yeah.
It's surprising to me how often suddenly their Facebook profile becomes them lifting a stone onto a barrel. So I have a lot of friends who are pictured lifting stones onto barrels because of the Ardblair Stones. And it does seem to have captured people's imagination. I would say that this year's game was a particularly large one. I mean, there was I think there was an excess of 120 attempts.
Wow.
So, but that there was, as I alluded to this earlier before when we were chatting, there was a documentary being filmed as well at the time. There's a guy, I've mentioned him before on previous podcasts.
Yep.
This gentleman called Stevie Richardson.
Yep.
Now, Stevie Richardson, he was in 2010, he was with the 1st Battalion Royal Regiment of Scotland in Afghanistan. And he had the misfortune of standing on an improvised explosive device, an IED.
Yep.
So he, unfortunately, he's a double amputee above the knee, and he lost several fingers. So, but he's a budding strong man. He's really, he's been to the Arnold Classic,
yep,
in Ohio. He's you know, he loves stone lifting and strongman events. And this documentary, they came to the Highland Games, and unfortunately, I can't at the moment put Stevie's run onto YouTube. I think it's only fair to wait until the documentary is released, which is going to be at the end of this year.
Okay.
The documentary is going to be called Improve Every Day, which,
awesome,
is IED as opposed to, obviously, improvised explosive,
yep,
device.
Yep.
And it's not charting Stevie's progress. But because Stevie was there, and he's coached by a very able and well-known strongman called Kenny Sim,
yep,
and Kenny Sim and a guy called Ryan Reed were there. They both got all nine stones between them, but a lot of the strongman community descended on the Highland Games to support Stevie, and there was a lot of drones flying around and film footage, and it was absolutely swamped all day. I mean, it was fantastic. But this documentary, I think once it comes out at the end of this year, I'm not sure of the exact date, but it should,
yep,
be a quite interesting thing to see.
Absolutely.
And another thing I'd quite like to say about the games is that mutual friend Paul from Wales.
Yep,
yep. We've had a certain amount of email correspondence from.
Yep.
And, you know, he's been keeping us up to date with his,
yep,
training and the things he's been doing. And it was, I'd just like to say, it was great to see Paul come all the way up from Wales. And he was really great. You know, he was determined, and he did an excellent run. I think his back was giving him problems by his own admission.
Yeah.
But nevertheless, he was like, you know, he just hung on and he went in there, and it was great to see that determination. And I think again, our mutual friends, Jason Jones, also from Wales.
Oh, yeah.
I think,
yep,
I think he's going to come up next year, and I think there's going to be, by the sounds of it, a little Welsh invasion next year, which
that's
I'll look forward to.
Well, I hope next year when I come over, Martin and I are going to do the invasion over in Wales too, because that's some of the stuff he was talking about. But you know, my big thing right now is to stay as healthy as I can and come over there. I've got to get the Husafell off my back, so to speak, you know. And as I told Martin, I'd really love to go, I'm trying to think, over to Latra, which is on the other side of the fjords, and get the stone that I think really tore my bicep. And, you know, I never got a chance to go down a few stairs and lift the Judas stone and the column stone. So I figure like this. Because I think I told you, maybe I didn't, the last time Stevie was on, and we got into talking about the shank stones, and he says, because I don't know if this is public knowledge, and I don't think he'd get upset, but he had told me that he was working on a lot of stuff. There are quite a few famous stones in Ireland, from what he told me.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, why don't you come over for a week, and you can stay, and you can meet my father and lift the stones. And I was like, you know, so I'm looking at, depending on everything, the way I want to do it. Because, you know, Martin extended the stay. You know, you could stay. I mean, I don't want to overstay with anybody. But if I could do it financially, I would stay over in your neck of the woods for a month. Because, yeah, because Martin likes to give me the shit all the time, said he's going to make a stone lifter out of me, and I'm sure he can. And I would love to go and train with him for a couple weeks. And then obviously go meet Stevie, obviously meet you, you know, blah, 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 have some fun, you know, and go from there. And that would be a very interesting trip. Now, I don't know if I could do it, but I'd have to at least be able to go 2 weeks there. It's not worth, a week goes like bang, it's done. You know, so it'd be much more fun to at least be able to go 2 weeks. And if I can't stretch it to four, then I come back again for 2 weeks that year if I can do it, you know, with the businesses and everything. So that's the thing. You know, I think think the stones more than anything, you know, I know you love weights and we know how it's helped you out for all the goals you've met already this year. But there is definitely, you know, I'm trying to think of the exact words and I don't know if I can remember them exactly, but I remember Steve Jeck because Steve was the one, obviously, who went to Iceland with the Húsafell, which, you know, I never knew what it was. And I was never much of a stone lifter. You know, we used to lift some sandbags and stuff. But boy, I'll tell you, when I saw that film, I was hooked. And I remember him saying it was something about, there's something about a stone. You know, it's been here. It's like, it ties you into the forever. You know, it's like he equated it to a woman, you know, you don't know everything about her, the curves, this, that, and the other thing, but it's basically something that's everlasting, and it is true because, as I said earlier on, and I want to ask you this, and then we'll go into whatever you want to hit next, do you feel, well, I know the first time with the Húsafell, and all the other places we went, obviously, Liechtenstein, Latra, the whole deal. Did you think like I did, maybe I was just because I'm a rookie, did you wonder who the hell touched this stone? Because you know damn well, it's been there forever, we're just talking the Húsafell. Did you ever think about whose DNA that you just hit that was on there? Have you ever thought of
that? Yeah, absolutely. Definitely, Eric. I mean, that's going through your mind, the history of the thing, how long it's been there for. Like, for instance, the Fianna Stone, which has been there, I think, since Pictish times, which is, I mean,
wow,
thousands of years. I mean,
yeah,
you know, you think of the history in that, and you wonder, I wonder what clothes they were wearing. I wonder, I wonder, you know, if they got it to their knees or if they got it into their lap, or I wonder what the scenery, I wonder if that house was over there in the distance. I wonder,
yeah,
you know, the mountains are largely in this here. I wonder what sort of vegetation was being grown.
Yep.
You know, I wonder what, you know, if it's agricultural things, you can imagine, like, I don't know, a wooden plow, you know, just completely different.
Sure.
And of course, I mean, that's part of the imagination and part of the sort of the romance of the whole thing. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what, I don't know many sports, and I don't even call it sport. I don't know many things that offer you that type of thinking, man, because, you know, I played a number of sports. You knew some of the people that came before you, but it's not the same way, man. Anytime you're out with a stone, to me, it's like a battlefield. And it's like, you know, you respect it, you more or less shake hands with it, but your idea is to rip that thing off the ground. And whether you're walking it or standing straight up with it or you're lapping it or whatever. And I think that is the whole beauty of all that because, you know, you hit it right on the head, just like me. Who was before me here? What were they wearing? You know, were there battles involved with this stone? You know, your imagination is like a child at that point. You're dreaming and you're creating on and on. And this is why I said, this is why I see very few people really understanding not only the stones in life, but life in general and how you can make your life so much better and create a setting where you can thrive in. Because before we came on, I was telling Charlie about some things I'm doing outside. And the majority of people I meet, it's like we were talking about with Jaws, where they say, you know, the great white, just like people that are like dead from the inside out, they have doll's eyes. And they have no expression or anything. And I'm a guy that loves to watch people walk. Because the way you walk and carry yourself really tells a lot about who you are, how you believe, and how if you're a doer or not. And I know that a lot of people don't like hearing things like that. Ah, you're judgmental. Nope. But every day you decide to get out of bed, that's a judgment. It's the same way with the stones. You know, everyone knows, Charlie knows. It was raining yesterday. I'm out lifting sandbags and stones in the driveway. Didn't care. I didn't like the rain. But I had to do a mission, and I wasn't going to wait to see if it was going to stop raining. And believe it or not, ladies and gents, it kept raining harder and harder. It just motivated me to move that much faster. And when you're presented with things like that, you know, everyone knows we train in snowstorms, you know, you name it. There, you know, unless it's so treacherous and dangerous, then I might postpone it for a day, because the last thing you want to do is, you know, have an accident that you don't need to have, that could lay you up or hurt you, you know, permanently. But otherwise than that, you have to have a commitment, a will, a drive, a desire, and that is the only way you're going to make it. And there's no guarantees. I mean, I'm going to go back over to Iceland and Scotland and everywhere. I might lift every stone. I might choke every stone. We don't know from day to day. But I promise you, I'll give my blood to get anything off the ground at this point, because there's a determination, because I've had to sit here because of a few things. You know, business comes first right now. That has to be very solvent to do all these grand things that I want to do over there with Charlie and the other guys and girls I'm sure I'm going to meet over there. Now, I want to meet Kara Shaw big time, people like that. But go ahead, take it away.
Well, you referred to the Shankstones earlier and meeting up with Stevie, and obviously quite nicely there you referred to Kara as well.
Yep.
So that sort of that made me personally think about the Shankstones, which the last time I was on the podcast, I always like, if I'm ending the podcast, to think of another goal or something I'd like to do.
Because yeah.
I think it's entertaining, you know.
It is.
And rather than just sort of, you know, here's another podcast with this gentleman and chatting away, and it's quite nice to have something which maybe with your regular listeners, that they're kind of, you know, they're thinking, I wonder how he's got on with this or that, because he said he was going to do it in the podcast.
Yep.
And the last podcast, I did mention the Shankstone.
Yes, you did.
So in the first instance, I would just, you know, I have no doubt that Stevie will be listening to this podcast, and indeed Heather, his
sure.
his wife.
Yep.
Maybe even Jack, who knows, and
yeah.
his lovely wife, Joyce.
Yep.
But I should really extend a great deal of thanks to them for actually hosting me, because on the 30th of September, which is not long after the Highland Games, in fact, they kindly invited me over to lift the Shanksies, as I like to call them, as opposed to the Dillies.
Yeah, yeah.
So they were absolutely fantastic, you know, and they really looked after me. In fact, the whole family went over as well, so they had a bit of an invasion from the Oliphant family. But what a lovely family. So anyway, yeah, my mission had been to go over there. Now, I wasn't actually, I don't like making excuses and things, but nevertheless, I like to try and be factual and honest about my training and what happened and things. Now, I think I'd kind of, around the Highland Games, which I've talked about, I'd been training for the Shanksies and basically, a long story short, through various illnesses and things and not getting my head in the right place,
yep.
I had about a 5-week stint of not training, which is a shocker. It's a shocking
yeah.
thing. And when I went to Ireland, the priority had been, let's get these Shankstones lifted. Then it became, the priority became more, let's have a nice family holiday in Belfast.
Yeah.
So anyway, I wasn't really approaching it. My head wasn't really in the right place. And it was one of these situations where I'd been ill for a period of time. And as it got down to the last sort of couple of weeks where I could train, there was a psychological thing of, now, if I go and train now and I'm a lot weaker, is that really going to throw me psychologically for the lift? Where is it better to have the last lift to have been on like a high rather than absolutely be sure that I'm not going to be able to lift these things?
Right.
You know what I
yeah,
mean?
Exactly.
And risk injury, because you're talking significant weight. Because, well, the Shanks weights, they're 800 pounds and the Dinnies are 730.
Okay.
So it's quite a jump up in terms of weight. And I think the heaviest Shankstone will be 440 pounds. So it just gives you a sense. So anyway, so went there and I was delighted because basically, yes, I did it. I managed to get the wind under the Shankseas and got my
yeah.
So I was quite relieved, and I feel that I was lucky to have got away with it under the circumstances. But nevertheless, it has left me with it's slightly unresolved for me, because I wasn't, I'd like to have locked out, and basically getting the wind under them is one thing, but it would have been nice to have got a bit more height on them, even just for aesthetic purposes, you know,
yep.
in my head. But nevertheless, I did enough to get the job done. So yes, I've lifted the Shankseas, but.
Congratulations, man!
Thanks, Eric.
Hey, Charlie, not to interrupt you, but you know something? When you get done with this, I want you to tell everybody what kind of year you've had. Because, listen, everybody needs to hear this. I mean, You had to change your training, and it's not easy either. You had to decide and have other people look at you, obviously, we know, and talk about weak points, and you did the Dinnies and the Highlands and all that. So when you get done with that, let's do a little bit of a retrace of 2017, go through this thing, because one thing I want to, well, go ahead and finish, but I got some questions about the Shankstones too, please.
Yeah, sure. Well, I mean, the thing about the Shankstones is obviously they're heavier. Actually, can I quickly tell you, I'll give you a rough history of the Shankstones and their significance in terms of how they relate to the Dinnies.
Okay.
I think a little bit of history makes, so rather than just thinking the Shankstones and having, not knowing anything about them. Basically, Jack Shanks, the legendary Jack Shanks, who obviously anybody in the strongman community has heard of, he was at the time he was working for the Royal, I'm going to slightly, I almost need to apologize to Stevie here, because obviously if Stevie was talking to you,
yep,
which I'm sure he will in the future, he's the authority on the subject.
Yep.
So, it's really interesting. I'm going to apologize in advance in case I get any of these facts wrong, because really, Stevie is the man to talk to.
Yep.
I'm going to just really give my experiences of when I was out there and what I heard and what I learned, but I'm just going to preempt that.
Yep.
So anyway, Jack was working for the Royal Ulster Constabulary, and he had seen a newspaper article relating to the Dinnies and everything, and Jack by the stage was quite a proficient lifter. I can't remember if he'd lifted like 900 pounds at this point or not, but he had the police over in Scotland measure up the Dinnies and the heights and the handles and everything and the dimensions to try and, because this newspaper article had more or less said that the Dinnies were unattainable to people unless they were using wrist straps,
right,
or something.
Right.
And my understanding is, again, Steve, you'd be the expert here, that nobody had managed to lift the Dinnies since Donald Dinney, I think, without using wrist straps. So it was a significant thing for somebody to go and potentially lift these without any aids of any kind. So basically, Jack created these concrete stones, the Shankstones. They turned out to be a bit heavier than the Dinnies. In fact, I think it was 1972 when Jack did his first lift of the
Shanks.
The Shanks one, before the Dinnies, because he was training on the Shanks. He went over, and obviously with the Shankstones, they're heavier and they're more awkward. And the thing about the Shankstone is that it's not exactly straightforward how to position them. At least I found it tough, because there's a big gap between the handles. Like there's a 2-foot gap.
Okay.
Between the things. So not only are you sort of crouching down, but the further that your arms are kind of getting away from the center of your body, you just seem to be losing that power. Because with the Dinnies, or indeed the Shanksies, you really want to have the weight over the biggest stone. You want to be standing over the biggest one, the heaviest one, and then concentrate on that and generally forget about the lighter one. So all your effort, because if you lift the big one, the lighter one's going to come up anyway. So, but the trouble with the Shankstones, I found, was that in order to get my hand in the handle of the smaller one, I was having to take my body weight away from the heavy stone where I wanted it to be. So in a sense, it was sapping, it was already sapping my energy.
Yeah.
From that lift. Whereas with the Dinnies, you can get the handles closer together.
Yep.
And it's more of a straight up. Whereas with the Shanks, it's more like a Jefferson. It's more like your hands are immediately in front of front and immediately behind in a line, which to me I find much more uncomfortable than having them slightly to the side, because I can generate more power with the Dinnies, for instance, sort of driving straight up without having this. It's almost like a contortion effect of twisting. It's just uncomfortable.
Okay.
But anyway, as I say, I got the job done. But anyway, so Jack, he went over. He had a sneaky little preview before the Dinnies, and he lifted them. And I think at that stage he was wondering what all the fuss was about and why everybody was making such a big deal about them. But nevertheless, you know, I think 2 days after that initial lift, he went through the motions. All the audience were there. You know, it was a bill of press and everything. And I think he became the first man to, he basically said to people, or people became aware, yes, the Dinnies can be lifted without straps.
You know,
it's possible, you can do it. And but it's interesting because only 8 people have lifted the Shankstones in the last 45 years.
Wow.
And Andrew Kearney's one of them. Obviously, Cara Shaw got the wind under the big one, which you talked about, Cara.
Yeah.
But with Evie, obviously, Jack. So, yeah, I mean, a few of those people have been previous guests on your podcast, Eric.
Yes, sir. And,
there's good company there. I mean, good company.
You know what? I don't think – I didn't tell you offline, but we are really we're working with a lot more stone lifters, and we're going to have – obviously, I told you one of the guys that's going to be on here. And we are getting into a lot more of the very heavy grip movements too now, because you and I both know grip is essential, especially with stones. And, you know, we're talking straps, and most people are going to be purists anyways, and I agree with it. I mean, you want to go and lift something like that, you better have the hands and fingers and the dexterity to do it. But it's very interesting, Charlie, because, you know, obviously, to go and do stuff like that, you know, I think the world of you for that. I mean, you know, to be that hungry, you know, you've been doing this for a long time like myself. I mean, you're still hungry, and that's amazing, because most people are died and out by 30 years old. They, you know, that's it. But let's talk a little bit about, you know, we've talked about this on previous shows, but, you know, you've been wanting to do the Denny's for a long time, and obviously you're ahead of schedule, but there were some things that needed shoring up. And, you know, that's hard for an established lifter, too, because now you got other people looking at you. You're looking at yourself and saying, ah, there's no way it's that. But so let's just trace your trail for the last 6 months here, and you know, there's plenty there to go around, if you don't mind.
Yeah, well, it was certainly with the Shankstones, the grip wasn't an issue.
Right.
I didn't feel that my grip was going to let me down.
Okay.
Because if you're applying a hook grip, to me, yep, it becomes a question of how much pain can you tolerate.
Yeah.
And honestly, you just have to zone out. It's almost like being in a hypnotic trance, yep, or state. Because, yep, you know what you're in for. You know, your fingers aren't going to come off. There's no need to stare at your hands immediately after to make sure the fingers are still there. You know, you're not going to do any, well, if you are, well, terribly masochistic, but if you do damage, which you shouldn't, if you lift the Shanksies or the Dinnies, it's worth it.
Hell yeah. Yes, it is.
Me personally, anyway. I mean, you know, I'm not trying to make myself a hero.
Right, I'll equate this to that, because this was funny. The Iceland guy said, there's a number of them that had blown their biceps prior to any of this stuff. And when that happened to me, I don't remember what his name was, a character. And he said to me, it was like, Eric, don't worry about it. He's like, now you have a permanent scar on you from Iceland. And at the time, you're like, ah, come on, man. But now, you know, I sit here talking to you, I'm like, I'm proud as hell of it. You know, and you hit it right on the button. It's like, and most people are not going to understand that. They'll be like, why the hell do you want to hurt yourself? I didn't go intentionally over there and want that. Are you kidding me? I might be crazy, but I'm not that nuts. And this shit happens. Look, you want to play with big toys, big things can happen, good or bad, all right? And it's all part of what we do here. Nobody wants to see anybody get hurt. And yourself and myself, we don't want to see things like that happen to us. But there's always a chance that something could happen. And then, once again, you'll have to decide where you want to go from there. But go ahead, Charlie. I didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's fine. Obviously, you know, I want to reiterate exactly what you said. Nobody wants to get hurt. It's not, you know, I'd rather not be hurt, quite honestly. And
yeah.
But these things happen, and you have to think, well, is it worth it or not? I mean, that's the difference between you and somebody else.
Exactly.
You're prepared to just push it that extra, you know. But anyway, so what I was saying, the grip didn't seem to be an issue.
Yeah,
I think
okay.
What it was. I think it was just a power. I think it was a back legs power thing, and because I couldn't get in like a sort of alluding to what I was saying before about the handles being 2 feet apart.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
One's a foot, and it was just awkward. And I never experienced the Shanksies. It was my sort of first introduction to them, and it just seemed really uncomfortable. But
yep.
What I'm going to do now is I'm going to take my Dinny trainers, and I'm going to get a block of wood, and I'm going to measure with my handles 2 feet difference in them, and I'm going to put that block of wood between my replica of Dinny's,
yep,
to create that extra space. and I'm going to start lighter, and I'm just going to go up and up and just get used to the feel of having that that different stance. Because also another thing is when I'm lifting, when I'm doing the dinnies and things, most people they have the hand maybe prone, if you can think down, like lifting a bar in front, and but with the shanks, because the way they set up, and to get the best lift, you almost have to have your hands. Well, it's more like a Jefferson. Your hands are more like a Jefferson, kind of
sure.
Like lengthways in front of you, rather than like across the way.
Yep.
So that if you're not used to lifting that way, that's kind of weird as well. So there was all sorts of just little weird factors and just getting my head around it, which I'm sure I can replicate training at home.
Sure.
And can get the better of it and work my way up. Because my training, basically, what it was basically getting a calendar, sticking it on the wall, getting the target weight I'm after, for the, whether it's the dinnies or the shank stones, working out how much I need to increase over however many, and just basically
yep.
just religiously add that weight twice yep. a week on.
Yep.
And basically, I'm not going to stop the session until I've lifted it. Because
exactly.
I just need to get there. And it's having the confidence and the boost and the reassurance that when you go and tackle these things, that there's no reason why you shouldn't do it, you know, pending an injury or something.
Exactly.
But unfortunately, with the shank stones, I never had that luxury because I had the calendar on the wall, as I did with the dinnies, and I had all the weights penciled in that I needed to do and how much I needed to add and everything over the course of the things. But the schedule just went mad because I couldn't have predicted it, but it happened, and I've committed to the Shanksies. I wanted to see Stevie and Heather and Jack and Joyce anyway.
Sure.
And so there's no way I wasn't going to go to Ireland. And I thought, well, I was going to give it my best shot under the circumstances, and I got away with it, thank goodness.
Yeah,
I was lucky, I think.
Go ahead.
I was thinking Stevie about it, and you know, I was thinking, crikey, you know, I wish that I'd managed to stick to that calendar and those other things. I think the Highland Games as well, and training for that, and I put a lot of demand on myself, I think.
Definitely.
A lot of myself, and the Stevie reckoned, he reckoned in 6 weeks another 6 weeks out of locked out, and it would have been fine, which is quite nice to hear that from him. But then, you know, everybody, as you know, who's serious about training and who's of any, you know, who's any noteworthy in the lifting world, they're always positive and they're always
working. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's just, you know, that's what everybody's like.
Yeah.
So the 6 weeks figure was quite a nice reassuring for me.
No, you guys are definitely, I've said this on other shows, a big difference than a lot of people I've ever met. That's just the way it is, you know what I mean? Let me see here. We're muted. What happened here?
Can you hear me? Hello?
Can you hear me, Charlie?
Yes, you can hear me, Eric.
Yeah, we're good. I don't know what happened. It was and I'm not going to take that out of the show because it's like right in the middle. I don't know. You know, it's, I'm sure everybody's had problems. We've had, there's been Skype issues all over and internet, folks. We were going to do a show last night and we couldn't even get through to one another, but we've corrected that blip, so we'll keep going. Go ahead. And that's what I was saying though. There's a different mentality, I think, where you are. Now, I can't say that everywhere, but I think there's a lot more support for one another out in your neck of the woods. Like when I went to Iceland those few times, anybody you met, it didn't matter what level they were at with their stones or their lifting, they were all very supportive people. Obviously, everyone wants to, you know, pull them or win or whatever, but how much are you going to gain if you're just, you don't want to help somebody out and it helps you out? So that's great. But, you know, everyone knows if they've listened to past shows, I mean, you've done some monumental things this year, and obviously the training had to change. You know, you had to go after things you've never done before. That's a big mental leap right there. And I don't care who you are, before you go into stuff like that, you're always going to have some reservations about everything. But tell everybody this, because you don't hear it enough. You know, when you walk up to a set of Denny's, and, you know, your throat's in your heart, it feels like, you know, and everything's moving, your senses, all things. Take people through that, like, you're getting ready now, you grab the handles, you know, and if you can even describe, if you even can do that, I don't know if you can, describe that feeling just as you're going to launch those off the ground. Now you've been successful and you put them down. I know that's that. I just kind of take everybody through that scenario, Charlie, if you would.
Well, I mean, I've done the Denny's on several occasions now.
And okay.
Actually, the first ever time I attempted the Denny's, and it really was an attempt. I didn't even know what the Denny's were or their significance in terms of Scottish stone lifting culture. It was a disaster. I mean, I hadn't trained. I went along with Andrew Kearney and
right.
A few other people, Stephen Murray, who obviously you've had on the podcast.
Yep. With
your,
yep.
And Neil Elliott, and there's a few others. And, I couldn't budge them. I didn't know the technique. I didn't know what I was really doing. I didn't know what I was doing. In fact,
right.
I wasn't even expected, because for the Denny's, you're really supposed to book in advance.
Yep.
And I think you're supposed to give at least a month's notice, and more or less I'd turned up, and I think I was there. And I think John Pollock couldn't make it, and I'm sure you know John Pollock.
John,
but I think they thought that I was John Pollock when I turned up. And no, I'm not John Pollock. I'm Charlie Lauerlepent. So anyway, that kind of you know, fired me up a little bit, knowing that I needed to do it. And everybody has been handed certificates and things, and been photographed, and I just felt like a little bit like an outsider, and I just wanted to be part of that.
So
I put the effort in and everything, and I basically got to the stage. I'm going to cut a long story short because I could go on about this, but the feeling that I had, basically, I did them 6 months later, and then I did them at the Gathering, and the Gathering was probably the one where I felt that I was going to lift them, and I was confident about it because I'd already lifted them before. I knew what I was in for, and it was just, I felt really confident. There was a lot of people standing around. Up until I think that there hadn't really been a good convincing lift. I mean, there had been some lifts, but I don't think that, you know, they were over in a split second, and they were sort of negligible, if you like. I think some of them are. I'm not trying to put anybody down here or anything, but I'm trying to gauge.
Yeah.
I think how the crowd were at that point. And so anyway, I was. There's no reason why I shouldn't do it. I feel pretty confident. I've done it. I did it the week before. So it was. I mean, I went up to them, and when I'm training for the Denny's, I usually get the heaviest weight, whatever it is, whether it's the training ring or the biggest Denny. And I will lift it with two hands.
Yep.
To warm up with the two hands. And I can usually get a sense from that how easy it's going to be. Because
right.
That's, even with the two hands. Because I reckon that if you can lift a weight with two hands, not with conventional grip, there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't be able to lift it with one hand with a hook grip.
Exactly.
And that's what I've always thought in my head. And it seems to be a formula which seems to work.
Mm-hmm.
Psychologically, I know that is the case. So the big Denny with the two hands was feeling quite comfortable, you know. It was so I thought, well, this is going to go up.
Yep.
And so there's a lot of people, obviously, you know, in the background. There's a hum and people saying, yeah, come on, do this and breathe like this, and yeah, you make sure you. But you kind of know all this stuff.
Yeah.
It's great that people are behind you and supportive, and I'm all for it. And it's great to have the encouragement. But I think that I'd kind of reached the stage where I knew all that, and it was just kind of background noise, although I appreciated people's enthusiasm.
Sure.
I knew they were going to go up, and in fact, I might have been a bit cheeky about the whole thing, and I think I might have said that this is a bit nerve-wracking, and people are saying, oh, we believe in you, and all this kind of thing, you know,
yep,
tongue-in-cheek and everything, but
yep.
I was pretty confident. I mean, so yeah, sure enough.
Yeah.
When you feel the weight coming up, it looks sort of slow when it's coming up.
Yeah.
But in your head and in your movements and what you're physically doing, it's like you've kind of gone from 0 to 100 in a very, very short space of time.
Yeah,
but it
exactly.
obviously doesn't translate to that from an audience perspective.
Yeah.
It's not like you're taking the weight and kind of like feeling it on the way up or anything. You are literally going from full power.
Yeah.
From the moment you pull. Because you don't want to waste the energy. You want to have it all fast and directed. And you want to make sure you get that weight shifted to your heel.
Yep.
And you want to make sure that front stone is balanced, because that front dini can have a mind of its own. If you're not standing right over it, it can just move with you and then throw you off balance.
Yep.
And it's a tricky customer. It's the weight's one thing, but it just shifts with you. It's rather like you were saying with your training.
Yeah.
With the
barrels
exactly moving around. The big dini is like that.
Yeah.
So. I pulled it and I went from 0 to 100 as quickly as I could. I got the things up, I held them up there for a few seconds, and it was a great feeling.
It has to be. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, it was great, but it's great having that confidence.
Oh, without a doubt, without a doubt.
I mean, you enjoy these things so much more because you're relaxed. You can appreciate. You can look around at the environment. You can look at the scenery. You know, you can smile and think there's no reason why I shouldn't lift these, as opposed to think, oh, I don't know if I can or I'm not.
There you go.
It's all awkward.
Yep.
And it translates in your posture and how you behave.
You're right.
It was a great, great feeling. But the Diddies do have a life of their own when they're off the ground.
Hey, Charlie, it's like we were saying before, you know, you watch people, you watch how they walk, you watch how they conduct yourself. It's the same way, you know, if I was there with you, I'd be watching your mannerisms right to the stone, because you can usually spell that out, what's going on with you. You know, nobody can really hide the deck that easy. You know, your approach, your facial. And I'll tell you right now, the eyes, as they say, are the window to the soul, man. We always used to say, this older lifter at a local Y here that I used to train at when I was like 11 years old, he used to say to me all the time, and I still say it to myself, he goes, you know how you know you're going to have a good lifting day? I'm like, how? Your hands will be all pumped up. And I don't know if that was just a way to get me to think. But to this day, I still do it. Like, I'm looking at my hands right now. I got a pretty good hand pump. I probably could go out tonight and lift some good shit. You know what I mean? It's things like that that motivate you and propel you to that next level, whether it's true or not. Little things like that, you know? I'm looking at my hands. There's the two Dini stones. I'm like, my hands are gigantic today. I'm going to swallow those rings. You know what I mean? So it's a very interesting thing. Especially now as I discover more and more different things mentally about me, how, it's great physically to be able to walk up to something that big and something that could either move or not move. But the biggest thing is how do we connect the dots? And that, you know, it's interesting. I would have loved to have a machine on your brain at that point, just measuring it, because can you imagine, from a scientific point of view, can you imagine the calculations and things that were going on in your body when you were doing that? I mean, the body is just so magnificent, man. I can't say enough about it. But, you know, Charlie, we don't really know what's going on half the time. But can you imagine what was going on with you internally and externally at that point? It's unreal.
I trained for that as well, so I've been used to similar sort of weights over a long period of time.
Yep.
So I was kind of prepared for it to an extent.
It's just very fascinating how everything works. What else you got? Because we're right getting your time.
It's a couple more things I was going to say.
Sure.
Obviously, while we're in Dini mode, I'm going to pop up on the 5th of November. I'm going to go up and go with some friends. We're going to do the invert and we're going to watch the Dinnies because James Fuller, obviously, a previous guest of yours, and Kirsten, of course, that they're going to be having a go at the Dinnies. So I don't think they know I'm going to be there or not, but this will be an opportunity for me to meet them and encourage them. There's going to be two others, a guy called Adam Bushaway and Timo Latimus, I think.
Yep.
So I'm going to watch that, and then we're going to go and meet up with Brett Nickel and have a go at the Nickel Stones again.
Oh, nice.
So that's all sort of Dinny related. But then probably the main thing is that I'd quite like to sort of get out there if any of your listeners are in Scotland at all, is that on December the 16th, I've got, it's a free event, and I've got the Ardbeg Stones are going to Hostile Strength and Conditioning Gym.
Oh, wow.
In Motherwell, which is in North Lanarkshire. Now, that's been put on by Martin Lennox, who's hosting the event, which is very kind of him. So thank you, Martin, if you're listening to this. And so, yeah, there's, if you want to find out about that event, then by all means, go into the Facebook page, the Yard Blair Stones, and perhaps I might even see some of your listeners there, which would be great.
And as I say,
it's totally free,
yep.
And I think it's from about 12 to 4. And it's indoors as well, so I know it's December, and it's December 16th. This is the first time the Arbless Stones will have been in indoors, so the weather shouldn't be an issue, the parking's going to be fine. And
yep.
Because it's indoor and it's in a gym, there'll probably be a few records, I think, because it's a different,
different
in a
field.
Gym environment.
Yep.
There's no reason why there shouldn't be some good results.
If you want to take any of that too, you're always welcome to slap that on. I know you do it anyways, but throw it on Etched in Stone if you want to do it too. I mean, it's
okay.
Up to you. You're always welcome to do, well, anytime, Charlie. What else you got, brother?
Well, I mean, I think that's pretty much it. It was basically, I just wanted to
yep.
mention the Highland Games. I covered the Shank Stones, which I did to them, and obviously seeing James and Kirsten, particularly
yep.
at the dinner. And then this event on the 16th of December. So, really, I'm happy. I've got all those bases covered, Eric. So,
boy,
you want to ask me anything?
No, I mean, boy, you talk about a busy guy this year, huh? Man, you've been moving, motoring. I think that's great. And you know, now we look at 2018 and see what's going to happen there. That's going to be very interesting for everyone, I'm sure. You know,
yeah.
it's awesome. If there's anything else you want to give out, you know, go ahead, Charlie. If not, I'll put everything out and just hang on the line, if you would, please.
Okay, well, just basically, the last thing I'd like to say is, obviously, again, Eric, thank you very much for having me on the show. It's always a pleasure.
Yes, sir.
And I look forward to the next occasion, whenever that happens to be. Thank you.
Well, I'd like to get you on before the end of the year. I mean, you know, we're talking November 1st, next Wednesday, I think, so... you know, maybe we get you on just before the 16th, you know, try to get you in between, you know, the end of November, early December. I'll send you some dates, and we'll get you on because, you know, I know the year's shrinking down, and we're looking at 2018, and, you know, there's just a lot of stuff going on. But, yeah, definitely you'll be on before the end of the year. That's not a problem at all, Charlie.
No, well, thanks. I look forward to that, Eric. Thank
I
you.
Do too, man. It's always great to talk to you. This is Motivation Muscle Streaming Radio 24/7. As I said, go out to FiorelloBarbellCo.com. Obviously, the winner's circle. You know, you do those movements, those 13 modules. You can go and lift stones and big ones, sandbags, you name it. We're going to be doing a lot of things. You know, as everyone knows, we had to take them off, but I have three programs. Etched in Stone for men, Etched in Stone for women, and Etched in Stone for kids. They're going to be some very interesting programs that are going to be very basic. They're not going to be real expensive. But if you want to really start getting in the stones, you'll find out what we do here to prepare for all that and to basically just start out. You've seen Charlie's son lifting Atlas stones. You've seen my nephew Danny with the sandbags and many other people that have shown their kids lifting stones and sandbags. So, you know, we would love to create generations of kids. And you know what? Adults, hop on because I got news for you. All these programs out there, I see them and it's like it's a joke. I could give you a sandbag and turn you into a friggin' monster. And it's none of this crap where I don't want to weigh 300 pounds. No one's asking you to. You can take a 100-pounder and turn them into whatever you want to do with them. They are incredible, and we'll get into more of that. But go out, look at that, change your life, commit, get some big will in you, and take massive action. And the winner's circle will work everything you need out. And as I said, you know, I'm a guy you can always get a hold of. We've been doing this stuff for over 15 years here at the FBC Steel and Stone Yard. And I hope to be out next month filming two more pieces for the winner's circle. It's probably going to be some walking with the Hoosa Steel Stone, but I'm going to show you how I load things and go barrel to barrel, whether short distance and stripping it down and then going 80 feet with it. It's very interesting ways to get yourself up, moving, and fast. And one thing that I've learned is you don't need to be ripping big things off the ground week after week, because especially if you're not going to go away for a year from now, you need to save that lower back. And, you know, when you're doing other movements, the last thing you want to do is have a back injury. So I've got an awful lot of material to share. And also, I would like to finally get up there that fine dead stop, or we call them dead starts here, tri-quad squat. And that's the movement I was telling you where you don't use your hands and arms behind you to hold a bar. You're pushing off on the center of your thigh. All right? Try to do that and balance a bar up on your traps. You'll drop it more than once, because I can tell you that from experience. But I've devised a three-way to use it with two different bars, two different style ISO holds. I don't know if I'm going to show all that, but I will show you the lift itself. So there's more stuff coming down the road with that product. Also, contribute to the family here. 25, 50, 100. I've gone over that. Go out to Fiorello Barbell Co. Just click whatever you want. It goes right to PayPal. You're in and out. Bang, bang, bang. Also, to motivationandmuscle.com/category/podcast. This show will be up Sunday. That'll be number 6 with Charlie and I, and I hope we do 6,000 before we're dead and gone. It'll be, there's an awful lot of work here to do still, and we've got the best of the best here, and Charlie is one of the best, believe me. So I look forward to our next show we'll do before the end of the year. Also, if you'd like to sign up to my newsletter, motivationmuscle.com, right at the very top of the homepage, sign up there, goes to MailChimp, et cetera, et cetera. You sign up anywhere else, forget it, you don't get a thing. So that's where you need to go. Also, too, iTunes, Stitcher, give us a 5-star review. We appreciate that. It's a great thing that people think that highly of the show. If you'd like to get our show in your car, AHA, that's AHA, sign up, and you can get M&M 24/7, 7 days a week, as I said. Also, too, if someone, you know, if someone seeks you out in the gym or the concrete jungle, remember, 5 words can change your life. Inspire people. Don't put them down. I'm not saying be, you know, just docile and not give a good straight kick in the ass to get them moving. But there's ways to motivate people where you don't have to treat somebody like they're, you know, garbage. And I see we talked about that in the show. Put down artists, things of that nature. Usually those are insecure people. Pull back. Don't give them any more money. Get the hell out of there. I'm telling you right now. Use your head. As my mom said when we were kids, never be afraid to say hello to someone or give them a smile. That might be all they get that day. If you're going to lift it, bend it, break it, twist it, press it, pull it, squat it. If you're going to lift stones, turn them into dust. And the great Hoos of Steel, Crusher Stone, says in blood red, domination. We are domination. We clear cut the path. We don't follow anyone. Dominate, obliterate, and dent everything in your path. No one will ever clip our balls. And as Russell Fur says, when I listen to your shows, I swear there's testosterone dripping out of my speakers, and you're going to see more and more and more and more of that, I guarantee you. As a couple people said to me in the past, when you make it big, you'll probably tone it down. I said, I've already made it big, and I'll never tone it down. I will never tone it down. We might go different ways, but the direction is always going to be there, because this show is my personality. The only way it'll change is if suddenly I clip my personality, and I won't sell out to anybody. I don't care if I have a penny. This is the way I live. This is the way I think. And if you live like that, it's all going to happen for you. So take that to heart. Also, too, Frank Klein, my greatest college business professor. Repetition, repetition, repetition. My dad, be a leader, not a follower. Be a leader, not a follower. John Ridge, the greatest chiropractor ever. Keep smiling, he would say to every patient as he walked him to the door. And I've been saying this again on a lot of shows, and I didn't say this to Charlie, but Charlie's going to hear this right now. I go to a local big grocery store here, and I shop for my mom every Thursday morning, unless something's going on. And there's a guy, his name's Bob, and he's in the produce section. And he's a great guy. He's probably in his 60s. And we talk, you know, how's it going? Sometimes we talk about music and stuff like that. So the only person that's ever said to me, keep smiling in my entire life, has been John Ridge. So I really was having a bad week that week. That was with the other job and a lot of things with the businesses and just, you know, bullshit. So I see Bob, and he always says to me, how you doing, young fella? And I'm like, good. How you doing? And he said, good. And he goes, keep smiling. I stopped in my tracks because there's only one person ever said that to me, and I said to myself, whether you believe in God or not, that was John Ridge sending me a message. It spun my whole week around, and suddenly things got better and better. So don't think that just because people are gone that you used to know or could see in face to face and they're no longer with us, don't think they forgot you, because there's no damn way in hell Bob was ever connected to John Ridge as a patient. And number two, there's only one person I would ever say that to me is John. So you can take that for what it's worth. Also, too, be a steward of strength. Don't stand on the side of the road and watch the world go by. Tell 100 of your friends we're coming, because we're not going to kick your door and we'll blow the roof off your house. Join the family. Join the revolution. And I'm telling you, the next 30 years of your life will just kick ass everywhere. You will do things you never thought you could do. And I'm telling you, the positive thinking, the power of being positive, of being optimistic, will do more for you than any course you'll go out and spend thousands of dollars on. Believe me when I tell you that. Also, too, Les Brown says, you all have greatness in you. We'll take it two steps further. We believe in you, and we got your back. Men, get rid of the nine-month belly and the spare tire. Support your women, your girlfriends, your children. Same way with the women. Take pride in your look. Get rid of that, too. Support your males. Don't let these vampires drive wedges between us, because we need to get this message out, and we want you to be with us for at least 30 more years. It's that important. And before I sign off with Charlie, two things essentially. Remember this, you're all winners and you're all champions, and don't take that for granted. You all have capability, and you've got to dig deep and discover it. And also, as I said before, may we live among the brave forever. We are motivation and muscle, and you know what? We got it, man. You know, we got the whole push. And Charlie, thanks for being on another great show. And, you know, you're always welcome here, brother. And it's always my honor to have you as part of the family here, sir.
Yeah, well, thanks, Eric. It's always, as I said before, it's a pleasure to be on. And I'd go so far as to say that, you know, I do find your shows motivating, and even being on them, I think, it gives me more fuel when I'm training.
Absolutely.
I feel I have a, you know, if I'm going to have, if you're going to be gracious enough to have me on your show, the very least I could do is try and do something of significance to keep everybody entertained.
Without a doubt. And Charlie, you do some great things, and I hope people realize that, because, you know, a lot of people nowadays will not put themselves out like that. And you have my admiration and my respect, because you're inspiring not only regular people, as we say, you know, the 9-to-5ers or whatever, but you're inspiring kids, and that's what's coming up behind you and I. And if we want to create this world of strength and just good people, obviously you're doing it, I'm doing it, and everybody associated with the show, and I know there's other people out there that we don't even talk to, but I hope someday they'll be with us too. So I think that is so vital, and you just keep up the good work, man, and everything you've done this year. I can't tell you, like when I was talking to James, I said if there's a low point here, it saddens me that I can't get there this year, and it would be great to spend some time right now with you guys all out there and go lift some stones and have some good times. But we will get to that. So, Charlie, thanks for being on the show, brother.
Thanks, Harry.
You are welcome. So, for Charlie Oliphant, as I said, this show will be up Sunday. We'll have Charlie on before the end of the year. And thanks, everybody, for listening. And remember, you've got the ability to do whatever you want to do. Go out and make the right choices and just live. Have a great weekend, and we will talk to you soon. Thanks.
Thanks so much for listening to Motivation and Muscle, the podcast that connected your brain to your brawn. We'll see you next time.